Hey guys, welcome back to Open Language. This is Connor.
This is Adam.
And a while back, we did a lesson about what it takes to be a CEO.
That's right. It was a well-received lesson, as I recall.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So we're bringing you part two of that lesson.
Okay, so today, basically, without wasting too much time, we just have a little monologue, and we're talking about all the qualities that go into a good CEO.
Mm-hmm. And with that, there are some great vocabulary in there. So why don't we take a listen to the lesson?
All right.
Great CEOs operate deftly in a range of paradoxes. They have the humility to know what they don't know, but have the confidence to make a decision amid the ambiguity. They tolerate chaos in order to foster creativity and innovation, but never let it slip into anarchy. They are empathetic towards people, but are willing to let them go if they are dragging down the team. They create a sense of urgency, but also have the patience to bring everybody on the team along. However, if there was one quality that ranks above all else, it's trustworthiness. We all have a gut feeling about our bosses, based on our observations and experiences. Do we trust them to do the right thing? Will they be straight with us and not stretch the truth? Do they own up to their mistakes? Do they give credit where credit is due? If you want to lead others, it's imperative to have their trust. And you can't have their trust without integrity. A close cousin of trustworthiness is respect for people who work for you. Quality of leadership is in direct correlation to the respect that leaders have for their employees. Working in tandem with these other qualities, respect can equip a CEO to lead their team through doubt and apprehension into success.
All right, so we just heard that monologue, and here we go. Great CEOs operate deftly in a range of paradoxes.
Okay, ooh. Deftly.
Yeah, this is not the most common word, but it's a good word to know.
Right. It just means well.
Well, yeah. If you want to say something like cleverly, but just focus on the pronunciation deftly. The T is almost gone.
Right. Deftly. Deftly.
Deftly.
Okay. So operate deftly.
Yeah, operate well.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. More importantly, I think in this line is the word paradoxes.
Right. A paradox. A paradox is just something that seems to be contradictory.
Right.
But it's actually, but it's actually true, right?
Mm.
All right. Like, for example, you can save money by spending it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's, for a lot of people, that would seem like a paradox, right? How are you going to save money if you're spending it?
Right, but it does make sense.
But it makes sense, yeah. You gotta spend money to make money.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
I also think about paradoxes in terms of, like, space and time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, for example, if I went back in time and killed my grandfather.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a paradox, right? Because then how could I have ever been born?
Right, so you're just going to disappear.
Exactly, yeah. Different movies have a sort of a different take on what would happen in that case. But in any case, a paradox is also just like, it's just a situation where everything doesn't seem to make sense, especially at work, right? Where maybe in like a startup culture where you're supposed to, you know, work really, really hard, but also supposed to, you know, they want you to relax and take it easy.
Right. So that's what this is all about. CEOs, they have these qualities that seem kind of the opposite.
Right, exactly. Right?
You got to have them all.
Mm, sure. Now, interestingly enough, a lot of CEOs are kind of, well, a lot of them are guys, right? And guys have that sort of macho.
Machismo, yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah, exactly, exactly. But at the same time, they need to be humble.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of paradoxical.
Right. They need to have this humility.
Okay,
right?
So I said humble. Mm-hmm. Humility is just the noun form.
Yeah. Exactly. You're not proud. You're not arrogant.
Mm, exactly.
Right. So they need to have this humility to know what they don't know, but they need to have confidence as well because there's going to be ambiguity.
Ambiguity. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is a fun word to say. If you haven't said it yet, why not try it now? Yeah. Ambiguity.
Ambiguity.
And it just means I don't know what's going on.
It's not clear.
It's not clear.
Right. Yeah. Ambiguous is the adjective form of that as well.
There's a fun adverb too, right? Ambiguously.
Yeah, ambiguously. Yeah, yeah, it's very ambiguous. So at work, there can be a lot of ambiguity, and this can lead to kind of a chaotic environment.
Right. So interestingly enough, we see two words here that are pretty related, right? Mm-hmm. Chaos mm-hmm. and anarchy.
Right. It's basically just nothing is in order. Anything can happen.
Right. Now, I'd say the difference between these two words is, when I think about chaos, mm-hmm. I think about like the universe.
Yeah.
Chance. Yeah. And all of these kind of like more abstract concepts, mm-hmm. but it could also just be like Connor's room
is in chaos.
It's pretty messy, right? Yeah, so yeah. His mom might say like, it's chaos in there.
Yeah, for sure. And so anarchy can be kind of like this political thing, right? This political meaning.
Well, people think like if there's no government, for example, or no police or no laws, mm-hmm. there will be anarchy.
Oh,
and
right.
In the popular imagination, anarchy means like chaos, right? Mm-hmm. It's like people on the street, they're killing each other, they're mm-hmm. stealing from each other. But actually, like in political philosophy or political science, anarchy just means no leaders. All free individuals that we don't need these laws. We don't need these police.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, interesting. Yeah.
It's kind of a really ideal concept.
Yeah, for sure about society. Yeah. Right. So CEOs also have to be empathetic.
Mm.
So we've seen this word before, empathetic. The noun form would be empathy.
Empathy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just you can understand people's feelings.
Right. Exactly. But, you know, you can't be too empathetic because if some guy, you know, maybe his name's Connor, maybe it's something else.
Yeah.
If he's dragging everyone down, then mm-hmm. you got to let him go.
Got to let him go. Yeah. So drag down is like we're all moving forward. We're all moving ahead. And some guy is falling behind and he's causing us to also, he's pulling us back.
Yeah, because drag is that idea of mm-hmm. like, there's no, I don't want to go. I don't mm-hmm. want to be going slower here, but you're dragging me.
Right. So dragging could be like in a team like this, but it could also be like emotionally, right?
It could be. Yeah. Like if someone is always really sad or mm-hmm. angry at work, you know, they could kind of ruin the, you know, like fun work environment.
Yeah. Debbie Downer.
Don't
be such a Debbie Downer. Oh, this party sucks.
Yeah. Just quit dragging us down.
Don't drag
Debbie.
Me down. Yeah.
I also remember in school, like the dumb kids.
Okay.
You know, they would always drag the rest of the class down because we, you know, the smart kids, they want to study and, you know, go further and go mm-hmm. further, but there'd always be one student like, hey, yo, teach, what's a 2 + 2?
Isn't it? I thought it was 5.
I thought it was five, eh?
Yeah, so those guys can drag you down. Yeah. Okay, and the next paradox that CEOs can do, they create a sense of urgency, right?
Right, but they also have the patience to bring everybody on the team along.
Right, exactly. So let's look at urgency here.
Urgent, okay.
What's the difference between urgency and emergency?
You know, someone asked us that once back. I can't remember which lesson it was, but it was a really great question then. It's a great question now. Emergency is like, you know, like you have to go to the hospital right now.
Yeah, it's this event, the situation's happening now.
Right. Now, and urgency, we don't really use urgency by itself, right? We often see it in this phrase, a sense of urgency.
Right, because it's kind of like a feeling, right?
Yeah, it's a feeling that something will go wrong, mm-hmm. but just not right now.
Right. So we got to fix it.
We got to fix it. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So we often use, like you said, this with a sense of urgency.
Right. Mm-hmm. But a sense, I think there's a book called A Sense of Emergency, but we don't really often use it in daily speech.
Right. Okay, so there's a lot of paradoxical things here, you might say, but there's one quality that really ranks above all else, and that is trustworthiness.
Oh, I thought it was going to be paying me on time.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is maybe number two.
Yeah. Well, I guess you need to be able to trust that mm-hmm. your boss is going to pay you, right?
Right, exactly. So you can, of course, see the words trustworthy in this in this word. It just means somebody who I can trust, basically.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Now, just pay attention, guys. The stress here goes on trust. Mm-hmm. Trustworthiness.
Trustworthiness. Not trustworthiness.
Trustworthiness. No. Trustworthiness.
Trustworthiness.
Now, a lot of the times, the question whether someone trusts their boss or not is really a question of do they trust that the boss has the confidence to follow their gut feelings.
Oh, yeah, the gut feeling. So this is a great expression. We use it a lot. Your gut is your stomach.
It's your stomach.
Right, okay. So it's that feeling you get it's not really in your stomach, obviously, but it's that feeling you get, but you're not calculating something.
You might not have a reason that you can actually express in words. You just, you feel something's wrong.
You feel something's wrong, or you feel you can trust your boss.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, one great example of this was President Bush, W. Bush, George W. Bush. He would always talk about, he goes with his gut.
Oh, yeah. Go with your gut. That's a great expression.
So, like, someone like Obama, they always thought he was very pensive and thoughtful, whereas George Bush was a cowboy. Shoot first and ask questions later.
And go with your feelings, right?
Exactly. So, we have so many phrases that have to do with guts.
Right. Yeah, there's so many expressions we use with gut. And we'll include that in the grammar section today, so be sure to check that out. And also, there's a lot of questions we ask, like, to do with our gut feeling, you know? Do we trust them to do the right thing, our CEOs? Will they be straight with us and not stretch the truth?
Okay, stretch the truth. Something that politicians are very, very good at.
Yeah, it's kind of like saying a white lie.
A little white lie.
Yeah,
I mean, it's, you are... Your intention is to deceive,
right?
That, which is basically lying,
right? Exactly, it's deception. But you could say, "Well, I just said part of the truth,
right?" So I'm thinking about like a maybe a wife is waiting for her husband to come home. He comes home kind of late.
Yeah.
He smells like beer, and you know, like, where were you? Well, I was at work.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he was at work drinking beer.
Drinking beer. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and another one here. Do they own up to their mistakes?
Okay, so owning up to something means kind of like confessing.
Confessing and taking responsibility for it.
Yes. So, yeah, you own it.
Yeah, it was mine. Yeah, that mistake was mine. And it may seem like a bad thing to do, but actually that's a good thing to do, like, because we all make mistakes.
Yeah, and people really, you know, find it valuable when other people own up to their mistakes.
Yeah, because what's worse than that is just being a coward and not owning up to it.
Yeah, I didn't
it wasn't me, wasn't me.
It wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I now that we're mentioning this, I can think of so many people that clearly made a mistake, but just refuse to own up to it.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
A little bit.
Another thing that's quite annoying is when people don't give credit where credit is due.
Yes, I could not agree more.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter who the person is. If they did something very, 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 very deftly.
If
they did something really, really well. Yeah.
And there's no ambiguity about it.
And there's no ambiguity. Even if you don't like the person, you should give them credit for doing that good thing.
Yeah, when you do a good thing, you should be recognized for it, right?
Sure. So the example I always give is Trump, right?
Oh,
we are
not
Trump supporters.
Right.
But if ever the guy does a good thing, we need to give him credit.
Right. Even if you don't like him, you have to give him credit if he does something good.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm. It's imperative that we do that.
Oh, yeah. That's our next word. It's imperative. You must do it, right?
Exactly.
So we often use it this way. It's imperative to
do something. We also say it's imperative that.
Oh, yeah.
We do something. It's imperative that we not be ambiguous.
And drag each other down.
And drag each other down amidst the chaos.
Yeah. And, you know, all of this, you can't have it without integrity.
Yeah, integrity. Again, so going back to politicians, they tend to be people that don't really have a lot of integrity.
Right. Because everybody has values. We all have the things that we believe are right and wrong. And often, you know, politicians who don't have integrity, they don't follow those values that they have.
Well, the only value is power, right?
Exactly,
the other principles, like honesty, trustworthiness, empathy, like they don't really enter into the calculus.
Right, yeah. They certainly don't have that integrity. So those are really important things, but we also have a close cousin of trustworthiness here.
Because like my cousin Tim, he's pretty close.
Right. Now, this is a really common expression in English. When you have an idea or something that's similar, we kind of use this relative word, close cousin.
Okay. So could you give another example?
Yeah, like maybe a close cousin of urgency is emergency.
Oh, right. Yeah, so I mean, a lot of times people are asking us in the comment section, you know, how do two words differ? How do they relate? And 9 times out of 10, you know, these words are really, really similar.
Yeah.
But they're not exactly the same.
Yeah, they overlap. They're similar, but different.
Right, so it's almost like a cousin.
Like a cousin, yeah. And that close cousin is respect for the people who work for you.
Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
So we can see here the quality of leadership is in direct correlation to that respect.
Okay, so here's another word that means connected.
Connected, yeah, yeah. So direct correlation when two things like influence each other, right? Two variables.
Right, directly.
Directly, yeah. One goes up, the other goes up.
The other goes up. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So if I really trust my boss, mm-hmm. I'm probably going to work harder. Mm-hmm. And who knows, that might make them, you know, a more trustworthy leader because they see that, hey, this is working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and exactly. And correlation is a word we use a lot in like scientific studies and stuff, right?
Yes. Variable A mm-hmm. And variable B, or it's usually X and Y.
For sure. Yeah. And those two things, they work in tandem with these other qualities.
Okay, so I want you guys to picture a bicycle mm-hmm. built for two.
Oh, yeah. It's called a tandem bicycle.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of means together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're working together at the same time.
Mm, right. Yeah, that's important. That's important. Mm-hmm. So when we're not talking about working in tandem, we could be saying things like operating in tandem.
Yeah.
Moving in tandem, mm-hmm. walking in tandem.
Yeah, there's kind of this, you're kind of synchronized together and you're communicating well and you're working well together. That's this idea of in tandem.
Yes, exactly.
So with all these qualities, working in tandem, you really can go through this doubt and apprehension into success.
Ooh, apprehension. I don't like this word. It makes me very...
apprehensive?
Apprehensive, yes. How did you know?
Right, so it's kind of like this caution. You're kind of timid. You're not sure if I should keep going.
Yeah, I guess we could say like extreme caution or extreme timidity.
Yeah, for sure. Like let's go skydiving. Oh, I'm a little apprehensive about that. It sounds dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. Or I could be apprehensive. I suppose I could also just be really nervous too.
You
could be apprehensive about a job interview.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you one thing I'm not apprehensive about is listening to this monologue one more time.
Well, I got to give credit where credit's due, Connor. That is a great idea.
All right.
Great CEOs operate deftly in a range of paradoxes. They have the humility to know what they don't know, but have the confidence to make a decision amid the ambiguity. They tolerate chaos in order to foster creativity and innovation, but never let it slip into anarchy. They are empathetic towards people, but are willing to let them go if they are dragging down the team. They create a sense of urgency, but also have the patience to bring everybody on the team along. However, if there was one quality that ranks above all else, it's trustworthiness. We all have a gut feeling about our bosses, based on our observations and experiences. Do we trust them to do the right thing? Will they be straight with us and not stretch the truth? Do they own up to their mistakes? Do they give credit where credit is due? If you want to lead others, it's imperative to have their trust. And you can't have their trust without integrity. A close cousin of trustworthiness is respect for people who work for you. Quality of leadership is in direct correlation to the respect that leaders have for their employees. Working in tandem with these other qualities, respect can equip a CEO to lead their team through doubt and apprehension into success.
Okay, so Adam, like, I don't know, what do you think about those qualities in a leader? Do you think those are really good ones?
I think they are, and yeah. I think that our boss, Jenny, is just a perfect example of, I'd say, 97%.
97, okay.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of paradoxes mm-hmm, that she has to operate in.
Definitely.
She operates very deftly. I don't really see a lot of apprehension when she's working, right? I mean, maybe people around her are apprehensive, mm-hmm. but she's pretty good at cutting through that, mm-hmm. working in tandem. I mean, she's got to work in Canada and China at the same time. So she's working in tandem with, all these different people, literally on opposite sides of the earth.
Mm-hmm, for sure, yeah. And not only that, she's very empathetic. That's one of the great things about Jenny.
How about her trustworthiness?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Couldn't trust her more.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, what about your boss or your CEO? Do they have these characteristics?
Or do they not?
Or do they not, right? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you guys at this point now, you can look at a lot of this vocabulary and very easily, very deftly find the opposite.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So we look forward to reading all your comments. And until then, we'll talk to you later.
All right, bye, guys.